I want to do something. I want to pray for President Trump before we get started. I don't know about you, but I'm just sick of all this. Okay, I'll use the word garbage. That's a nice one. Rubbish. Ooh. I'm not really that smart, not really that discerning. I'm a little bit, but I think, you know, I could put a smart dog in front of the TV set and he can figure out what's going on with the liberals and the Democrats. You know, the issue is you're just totally against everything, you're resisting everything, you hate everything. I don't care if it was a question of he said it was wrong, it was going to be right. If he said it was right, it's going to be wrong. If he said it was one, then it was two. And if he said two, it's going to be one. It doesn't really make any difference. Even if what he wants to do is good, they're not going to do it because he's doing it, so it's got to be bad. And there's some people that, Lord, I'm not going to give you any hints about what to do to a couple people up there, however. But anyway, I want to pray for him, amen? So, Lord, Lord, I'm just saddened and I'm tired of hearing this stuff about what's going on with the president. Lord, you put him in place, and you said anyone that's in that job or any place of authority, you put them in there, and they're your choice. It's no mistake, no matter who would think otherwise for whatever reason. So we know you did it, and we agreed with it. Now, Lord, I don't understand it all, but Lord, I just take President Trump into the courts of heaven, and Lord, he's your man at this time, in that place, and you did it. But Lord, there's lots of things that are coming against him, and you said when they oppose him, they oppose you. And so, Lord, I'm asking for you now to move on behalf of the one you selected, that you would decide, that you would decree, that you would make known what's going on, and you would reveal, and you would judge, and you'd bring this garbage to an end, and you'd expose what's not right and what's ungodly, what's really in the bottom of the swamp and the things we don't even know about. So I ask you, Lord, for you to move, for you as the judge, to make that decision and to turn this thing around. We all ask this, and everyone agrees, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Ooh, yes, okay. I didn't give you the scriptures, so you're going to have to... Okay, nimble fingers today, right? Would you put up Colossians 3, 1 and 2? And that's not going to let everybody know where we're going. I'll have to guess. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, I guess hopefully all you are, keep seeking the things above. In other words, we're supposed to already be seeking them. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things on the earth. And you know, there's lots of scriptures that imply the same thing. Even in John 17, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, and it says, as I was sent, and he said several times around verses 14, 15, and 16, he said, you know, Lord, they're in the world, but not of the world. So if we're not of the world, then we're not thinking and focusing on the things of the world. We're thinking of things outside the world, not in the world, but of the world. Not of the world. So this really kind of implies the same thing, doesn't it? Which makes sense, because who is the leader, or who's got authority over the world right now? Yeah. And you got to be careful when we say the world. We're not talking about necessarily the physical. We're talking about the world systems. right? All right, put up there Matthew 6:33. These things don't seem to go together, but they will. And we've talked about this many times. Seek first his kingdom. And he said in Matthew 8:36 that my kingdom is not of this world, didn't he? And when we're talking about the kingdom, we're not talking about what a lot of people think that are really screwed up in their end time theology. They think whenever the kingdom is referenced here, we're talking about the millennial kingdom. But at the same time, they'll sit there and pray like everybody else with what people call the Lord's Prayer. I don't call it the Lord's Prayer. I call John 17 the Lord's Prayer. But it says, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. In other words, we want to see heaven on earth, right? But that's not praying for the millennial kingdom. That's praying for God to bring and make us finally move and change things, right? Okay. Let's look at Luke 11:23. Jesus said this, and I will go into, I guess, they were at Luke 11, and they saw, I won't go into the background. But anyway, here's what it says. He who is not with me is against me. See, there's no middle ground here with the Lord. You're either in or you're out. You love or you hate. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? Amen. Okay, remember that, because it's going to come up later. And he who does not gather with me scatters. So what does that mean? That means that who you are, what you say, how you act, your attitude, and everything about you is either going to be for the kingdom of God and encourage people to want it or to come in, or you're going to be one who is dividing and causing strife and scattering people. And I'm not just talking lost people, I'm talking you can scatter even as a Christian with other Christians. And I won't go into some of the sad stories I've seen there. Now, we're going to start going where we're going. Unless the Lord changes me real quick. Because he does that sometimes. If I said to you, and we do mention it about how different everybody is, and God's made everybody, and they're like snowflakes, they're unique, and nobody is exactly the same as you, and nobody has the exact same purpose you have, and that we how many times we said that? And that, does everybody believe that? And that's not a trick question. Everybody believe that? Well, the truth is, a lot of people don't. I'm going to show you how that is. Because if anybody's different, if they look different, they're a different gender, a different race, if different physical attributes, different personalities, different opinions, especially ones that don't agree with you, and I go on the list, we don't really want to tolerate that and want that to be. Isn't that right? That's when we get into the point of deciding naturally whether we're going to include somebody or exclude somebody, whether we're going to embrace them or we're going to shun them, whether we like them or we dislike them, whether we're going to let them be a part or not let them be a part. I don't care where we are, what we're talking about, that's what happens. But normally it's done based on our deciding what we like and what we don't like about them. So we have all kinds of problems. We have lots of judgments. We have lots of issues, arguments, disagreements, opinions, and where people want to be right and the other person don't let them be right, so therefore they're out. We have people of different color, so therefore we have prejudice and we're going to separate and divide. But we would always say that God made everybody different. They're supposed to be different. We just don't like them to be different. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, it's really, we want, if they're good and they're okay, they got to be like us. They got to think like us, right? They shouldn't argue with us. Huh? They shouldn't be a problem like that. That would make my life a lot easier. Oh, Lordy. We're all the same, aren't we? But we know when you really sit down and talk about it that it's all part of God's plan because we're different. And everybody, according to 1 Corinthians 13:9, everybody is knows in part. So we all don't have the answers. So why would you want everybody to agree with you all the time? In other words, you want to be told you're right, even though you may not be right. But you don't know everything. Oh, Lordy. Put up, which one do I go to? Colossians 3, verses 10 and 11. We're still not quite where I want to go. And have put on the new self, we all, being renewed to the knowledge according to the image of the one who crafted him, okay? A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free man, but Christ is all and in all, right? So, in other words, in God, we're not supposed to be partial, right? And everybody's supposed to be different. And we may not understand why they're different or how they're different, but here's the thing to remember before we go, I go where we're going here, is that Jesus died for all of us, and so therefore, he saved the same price for all of us. So therefore, we're all valuable, and we're all just as valuable as each other is because the same price was paid, and the price was invaluable. So therefore, we're all pretty valuable. I don't know if I could say that again or not. It did make sense, didn't it? Okay. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. So we're all different, but we're all important and we're all valuable. We all have a part. And so we're supposed to be wanting what everybody has. And so therefore, we should be receiving everybody, even if we don't like the way they look or like what they say. We need to learn and find out what's going on. And if there is real issues with them, then we should love them as ourselves and therefore help them, right, and not reject them. Okay. Whew. Okay. Luke 18, verses 9 to 13. Now we're going to get on. We're getting on. Most of you know this, or have many times have been there, but watch this. Let me get some water here. And he was told and told the parable to some people, watch this, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. See, what we don't understand is when we look across as in the beginning and they're different, and so that because they're different and we don't like the way they are, agree with the way they are, then therefore we become the judge and decide whether they're acceptable or not, and that makes us self-righteous. So people who have opinions, negative opinions of other people, and people who are judging other people, basically they're self-righteous because God is the judge, and we presume on God, right? Okay, and viewed others with contempt. People say, "Well, I've had people who judge me." I said, "Well, you hate them. You hold them. You condemn them. You hold them in contempt." "No, I don't." I said, "Yes, you do." I said, "You're putting them down. You're elevating yourself, and you're putting them down. And basically speaking, to give you, maybe bring you back to your senses. The Bible says what you do to the least of these, and you actually make them the least of these, you're doing to the Lord, because that's a brother in Christ. I love being nice. Oh, Lordy. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself: God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Well, we can stop there and we can see what we got already, don't we? Lord, help him. I was going to say, help him. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I mean, isn't that what that's like? Yeah. But let me tell you, see, we laugh, but how many people have we looked at like that, really? See, because what we do, we lessen the value because we really think that's the way it is with them, so that doesn't count here. I fast twice a week, Lord, and I pay taxes all, of all I get, Lord. I don't leave anything out. Everything, I pay taxes, Lord. But the tax collector standing some distance away. Let me just say this, going through. There's another issue. And I don't think people see this. In 1 Corinthians, is often, in 1 Corinthians 10, I think it's 13, it says, we're not supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves. Remember that? So if we're so different, how can you compare? Not only are we so different in the way the Lord made us, but in our experiences. The Lord has had me a couple of times sit down over the last history, and probably the last time was about 6 or 8 months ago, just for the heck of it, writing the possible differences that could exist between two people. I mean, when you think about it, you could list 100 childhood experiences. You can list different churches, different schools, different grades, different teachers, different subjects, different education levels, different jobs, different bosses, different experiences, different problems, different successes, different failures. You can go on, and you can list hundreds of things. So what makes us think that when we're looking down at somebody and we see that they have a problem or the way they are, what would make us think that we wouldn't be in worse shape than them if we had gone through what they had gone through? Okay. We shouldn't be comparing. There's no way you can do it. We all stand before the Lord, responsible for our things no matter what they are. And we can't say, well, he did that, but I didn't. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, help us. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And there's another issue. You see, there's so much to this that people really, there's pieces people don't really think about or understand, but actually when I judge somebody, now we say this. If I said to you, I do it all the time, I said, God's a perfect God, makes no mistakes. And everybody said, that's right. Right? Yeah. Then again, we judge a person when we think because of the color of their skin or whatever other physical, natural difference there is, that they're not as nice or as good as you are. So what we're really saying is that God, you didn't make a good thing when you made somebody heavy or fat. You didn't do it when they made somebody a red Indian, or you didn't when you Does everybody hear what I'm saying? So what we're doing, there is basically, even when you consider it, an implied judgment of God of making a mistake. Men, some men are totally against women. And some women totally against men. And the truth is, God said everybody was wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. So then, if I'm in disagreement with him, I've got an implied judgment of God. And then, when he says you hold him in contempt, like we said before, first, especially if it's a brother or sister in Christ, the Bible says this, and this should be scary for some people. 1 John 4, 20 and 21 says this, you can't love God and hate your brother. The Bible says it's either or. You can't love God and hate your brother. You can't do it. What does that mean? In the Hebrew, it means you can't do it. Is everybody getting the point? See, whether you like it or not, you better start liking them now because you're going to be living with them a long time in eternity. You're going to have a miserable time in heaven. Oh, Lord. Okay. So, let's look at Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors, some as teachers. And it says earlier in verse 7, he gave gifts to the body, and those are supposed to be the gifts. But the truth is, everybody's a gift. See, if I know in part and you know in part and I have abilities and talents you don't have, then we learn from each other and we share with each other, so therefore we're a gift to each other. Right? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, and we've been through this before, the idea is pastors aren't here to be heroes and out there on for everybody to see necessarily. The idea is to bring everybody up to where they are, to exceed them, and to go out and do the things because they're there for the building up of the body of Christ, for the work of the service. And we have them and apostles and prophets and all of them. Some people don't think they're for today, but it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. Are we there? No. And to the knowledge of the Son of God? No. So we still have him today. To the mature man, to the measure and stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children. We're all supposed to grow up, and we're learning from everybody, from the fivefold and everybody else, tossed here and there by every wind, by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness of deceitful scheming. And that's what we get beyond when we're no longer children. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, watch this, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together. So let's come back to that. Put up 1 Corinthians 12:7. We'll come back here. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Read gifts, okay? Put up 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. In other words, everybody has different talents and gifts, right? But he's given them all of us. And he decides what you get, right? Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Looks like God's got a plan here, And we're really more of a part of it than we really believe, right? Okay, now go back to Ephesians 4, 16. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. You can see the joints have been all gifted and put in the right place and raised up by God. According to the proper working of each individual part. Hello, individual part. That causes the growth of the body for building up itself in love. What does that mean? That means we need all of you. What that means is, I don't care how tall you are, how short you are, how fat you are, how skinny you are. I don't care whether you got brown eyes or blue eyes. I don't care if you got size 13 or 14 shoes. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't care whether you're black, brown, green, yellow, or orange. Just so you're not chartreuse. What you got, I need. So we need everybody. No one is unimportant. And if you look from God's perspective, he made them all just as important. Nobody's more important than anyone else. The pastor's not more important than the person that opens the door for everybody. In fact, he's probably more accountable because he's been given certain things to do he has to do. I hope you're getting this. Because the church doesn't really get this, or we wouldn't have church, well, it splits. We wouldn't have divisions. We wouldn't have little cliques where people don't talk to each other. We wouldn't have unforgiveness and bitterness. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 22:39, we're supposed to love everybody as we love ourselves. In fact, it says in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, we're actually supposed to maybe prefer everybody else. I haven't checked out the meaning of prefer, but maybe there's an out there. I'm not sure. Oh, Lord, help me. In fact, what is it when... Put up, was going to go somewhere else, but I'll come back. Put up Matthew 10:14. Whoever does not react. This is when he sent out the original 12. And, you know, he said to go to towns and go to houses and do all that. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out to that house or city, shake off the dust and walk away. So in other words, if you don't see the value in them, and they've got a message from me, don't get hung up and try to force feed them and then get angry with them. It's probably not the time or the season, or they're never going to come. Just go on and try to give to somebody else. Does that make sense? Okay. Put up Luke 9:48. Whoever receives his child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this one is one who's great. Isn't that interesting? Put up Luke 10:16. The one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Put up Matthew 10 verses 40 to 42. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives... Is everybody getting the picture here? We all got something to give, and if they don't receive from you, that's their problem. Now, I got to caveat that a little bit, because some people are just idiots. They need to get healed. And they need to get told how to do some things, because I've seen people that got something to give, but let me tell you, after hearing to them, I just want to run after hearing them, you know, because they try to force feed people, or you know what I'm talking about. and they're a little bit, and they're actually too religious. And so it's hard for people to receive. So part of the reason not receiving can be you being an idiot, not that people don't want what you got. They just can't stand to be around you because of where you are. Okay. Anyway, he who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. You see, Ephesians said we all contribute, we all grow up together. What I have will help you, and what you have will help me, and we'll get along together. And whoever in the name of the disciple gives one of these little ones even a cup of water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Okay, put up. What time is it? Okay, I'm going to go there. Put up 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. First Corinthians 12, 12 to 27. No, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27. I know the 12 is a little confusing there. Don't reject me, receive me. Anybody learn anything? For even as the body is one, and yet many of many members, in other words, we're all a covenant body, right? And all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. And we, you know, and it's just another way of talking about covenant, just like it says in John 17, 21 to 24. We're in him, and he's in the Father, and the Father, and so since we're in him and he's in the Father, we're in the Father also, so we're all in one together, right? It's all the covenant issue. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And we looked at Colossians 3, verse 10 to 11, that said, either Jew nor Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised. You can also write down another Galatians 3:28 says that also. And we were made to drink of one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. Now, what happens here is that, see, the devil caused a lot of division and strife and all. And what happens is in the body, somebody's got a gift and very strongly. It's kind of like, he's not here, but Chris Martinez. Chris Martinez has a strong gift of prophecy. Everybody, right? Everybody knows that, right? Huh? Okay. Even I recognize that. Anyway, so... I can say, well, you know, I don't really want to play this game. I mean, some people got, they got healing, and they got prophecy, and to me, I know he knows who I am, and I just got to serve, or I just got administration. Who wants those things? So we start comparing ourselves among ourselves, right? And say, well, I'm not important because everybody likes them and likes what they do, but they don't really pay any attention to me. So the human part of us and our brain starts working and our rejection creeps up a little bit. Right? It's really funny because I was at the men's group yesterday, I was saying this. I said, Jesus said this. In John 17, when he was talking to the disciples again in the prayer, he said, I have given them your word. and the world hated them. So we got enough problems outside the body if we're what we're supposed to be, because if we're what we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world and acted like that out there, then guess what? Our only safe haven would be the people we're judging in the body. So we better like the people in the body. Does everybody hear me? And Jesus said in John 15, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. Now, people say, well, I don't really want that. I said, well, you joined the wrong club. And I say to some people, does anybody hate you? Yeah, my mother hates me, my father hates me, my in-laws hate me, my dog hates me. I understand, but that's because of you. The truth is, do they hate you because you're who you're supposed to be in the Lord, trying to be all that, trying to walk that out impartially and justly, right? Because people don't want to hear that, especially today, right? So, where was I going? Oh, you can't be a hand and or a foot or whatever. Well, what happens is what I'm saying, that's the problem. There can be in unhealed people or childish people in the body, what happens is you have that issue of becoming, of comparing, becoming jealous, feeling rejected, right? And looking at the natural in people and even the people that don't like themselves, who are in disagreement with God to start with, who basically was a Romans 9:20 says, the clay cannot say to the potter, why did you make me like this? So if they got a problem with themselves to start with, then this is a good place that they're, not a good, but this is a place where they're probably going to wind up in comparing themselves to other people, isn't it? And what we need in the body to do then is to make sure they get healed. See, because let me tell you what, it's so neat the way it's set up. We're going to come back to this. Put up Proverbs 18:1. See, I can be exasperated with my place in the body, or I can be exasperated with somebody else in the body. So I decided I'm going to take my baseball bat and glove home because I'm not going to play anymore. So what happens is then I'm not there. And since I'm not there and nobody carries what I carry, then therefore the body is missing what I have to give. And I am falling for one, either the rejection or issues that I have that cause me to back off. It's kind of like a servant. What is the greatest scheme against a real servant? He serves until he gets angry. Yeah, he serves till he's angry. Yep. He realizes, well, nobody really cares. What am I doing this for?
Wrong reason.
You know, but that. So what happens? We get angry. We pull away. Yeah. You know, well, I'll show them. I'll pull back. But what we forget is they don't get what I have. But I lose more because I don't get what all of them got.
Amen.
So it's interesting because he who separates himself seeks his own desire. See, I'm hiding self-preservation. It's all about me. I'm alive. I'm whining. Okay. It's like the Bible says, there's a new wine every morning. Oh, Lord, this is hard. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Huh? Okay. So whether he pulls away himself or whether he's treated badly by somebody and pulls away, that's not the thing to do.
Amen.
Because that is what the devil wants, because then we have a little strife and separation and division in the body. And so everybody loses. Isn't that right? Okay. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body. It's really interesting because just look at the natural body. if all the parts were an ear, how would you walk? How would you eat? How would you see? I mean, it's so foolish when you look at the natural and try to, you know, make an analogy here. Is it not this for this reason any less part of the body? I've heard somebody go through a whole show with this. They really did. It was really very funny, but they did it. They said, you know, talk about the person's not seen or doesn't get, you know, they're not really appreciated as much. And everything. It's just kind of like the little toe. You ever broken your little toe?
Yeah. Hmm?
Try to walk downstairs with a broken toe or upstairs, you know, or your big toe. That's even worse. I did that one time, too. I didn't break it, did I?
No.
I bruised it. Oh. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? See, everybody knows in part. That's what we talked about. Everybody imparts. But now God has placed members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? Yeah, they can't all be ears or whatever. We can't have all pastors. We can't have all apostles, right? We can't have all elders. We can't have all teachers. We can't have all heads of the nursery. What happens to the rest of the church? Okay. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or the head say, I have no need of you. Well, we kind of talked about that, didn't we? Let me put up Ephesians 5, verses 17 to 21. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Oh, this sounds so nice and sweet. Singing and making melody, I can't do that. With your heart to the Lord. You wouldn't want me to sing to you. It's noise, all right. Although always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord. Watch this. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now, what does that mean? What it means is this. We all have gifts and talents and abilities, and we all have authority in certain areas in what we do. So we all have something someone else doesn't do. So when the issue really comes down to somebody having an expertise in one area, we submit to their expertise. Not that we're in authority under them, but we let the one loose that has what we all need, and we submit at that point. Does that make sense?
Amen.
That's how you receive one another, right? Okay. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 22. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those of the body which deem less honorable, and those which we bestow more honor are less presentable members, become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body. That's what we're talking about, right? And that the members may have the same care for one another. Mm-hmm. See, God loves us all. And Jesus died for us all, so they love us all. And we're all equally valuable to God. And we all have an important part of the kingdom of God. So as the Lord sees it, you know, we need to appreciate and receive one another without partiality, without preference. Okay, well, we'll go. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer. And it's kind of like not just suffer. I mean, even that Proverbs 18:1, you know, when somebody is pouting and they either leave physically or withdraw emotionally, then basically they're suffering or they're hurting. And guess what? We miss out, right? If one member is honored, then all rejoice with it. Amen? And it says in 1 Corinthians, put up 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. See, and I think this is really what it is. We claim to be spiritual, at least most of us do, yet we don't spiritually appraise. We appraise by natural means. You follow what I'm saying? And that's where we're gonna fall short. Put up Galatians 6:1. And then if somebody in the body is having a problem, those who are spiritually and those who spiritually appraise would understand what's going on and there's a problem and would try to help and bring that person, because he has as much value as the rest of us, back into the fold, operating the way he's supposed to be operating, or she's operating the way she's supposed to be operating, because we have a need. Now, some people say, well, what about the issue when somebody leaves a church? Well, you know, sometimes God has somebody leave, and sometimes God is just sitting there watching people wanting to leave where he's already put them. Does everybody follow what I said? Amen. And so even in dealing with them, you know, and I'll tell you in a second what I do, but the truth is God has put certain people in place and they're supposed to be there. In some cases, what's happened is people didn't hear God. They're in the wrong place for the wrong reasons. They're in there because their friend goes to church there. They're in there because their family want them to go to church there. Now, sometimes God could use them to get to the place, but sometimes that's not always bringing them to the right place. They don't hear God where to go, and they don't hear God when to leave if they're in the wrong place. So sometimes you do have movement like that. So what happens is, it's happened a number of times here and over the last 27 years. So what I normally say to people is, okay, did God tell you to go? And I can tell you from the answer, because they beat around. And I said, well, here's the way I see it. You're going to tell me God told you to go. We teach you to hear God. And John 10:27 says, my people hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. So if you hear God's voice, you have to do it. So if you tell me it's God, and I can't tell you necessarily it's not, because you hear God, and if you know, you tell me you know it's God, then I have to honor and say, you need to go. And if you go and you find out you miss God, We all miss God once in a while. Hey, come on back. Don't be embarrassed. We've done it, right? See? And if you're supposed to go, then there's a reason. Now, what happens sometimes, we've had a couple people go that one went and helped start another church. Then a couple of people were supposed to go, and they wound up in leadership in other places. And some of them were supposed to go, and some of them weren't. So sometimes it's hard to tell. The Lord sometimes will specifically tell me, and sometimes he doesn't. But if the person believes in their heart they have to go, and they believe they've heard God, then they have to go, don't they? I can't say you have to stay here. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not here to control people, right? So I want to go back to what I said before about this business about judging people and being against one another. The truth is, everybody that's in the body that's born again has the Holy Spirit in them. So being a temple of the Holy Spirit, I would say they have some value. Jesus died for them and laid down his life. I would say that gives them value. The Lord makes no mistakes when he makes anybody. So therefore, none of the people are a mistake, and your giftings and talents aren't any mistake, because when God has a purpose for you and he forms you and brings you forth at the right time, he also brings you forth in such a way that you have all that you need to do the job that he had for you. Isn't that right? So therefore, see, it's not for us to judge someone based on what they look like, or even if they act foolish, because sometimes they just need to get healed. We need to be much more compassionate. And I'm not saying this because the people here aren't, but I mean everybody to some extent is not compassionate enough or kind enough and understanding enough. We don't love the way the Lord loves, but we're learning to be in that place as we grow in Jesus. But we really must be careful to check ourselves, because we can be in the world and of the world in the way we look sometimes at people and the way we decide how we feel about people, because for some reason they irritate us. Now, the issue really is not whether they irritate you and they're causing an irritation. See, because they might have a problem, but the issue really is, why are you irritated? Because there's something in you that's touched by that person, so you may need to get healed as much as that person does. Because you're coming alive just by looking at that person or hearing that person. You got a problem. Are you following me? Okay, why don't everybody stand? This is a difficult problem in the church at large, because we tend to scatter in the way we act and the way we think and the way we operate every day, the words we say, and we don't really receive everybody in the way God wants people to receive, because they're all sent by him. And so I think, well, what I was going to do, I was going to do the Lord's Supper. I'm going to do it next week. Because what I think we need to do is after talking, I feel we need to just examine ourselves and say, where have we saw somebody with contempt? Where have we dismiss someone in our mind or in our heart? Where are we with somebody? Because is there somebody that we purposely avoid? Does everybody hear what I'm saying? Because let me tell you, avoidance doesn't resolve the heart issue. Do I have to say that again? Avoidance is not the answer and doesn't satisfy the Word of God because it doesn't solve the issue. You still don't love the other one the way you're supposed to love them. So if there's any unforgiveness, if there's any bitterness, if there's any judgment towards anyone, particularly the people in the body of Christ, any judgments, this is the last thing I'm going to say about any judgments even, because you know something in the Bible and they don't, so you look at them less than. Why don't they know that? Why don't they do that? But the truth is, if you've been blessed enough to hear from God or hear from people that have heard from God and are teaching you to do some of these things that are biblical, and they haven't, because you've had that advantage, that's even worse about you trying to judge or condemn them in any way. So we need to do a heart check, amen? So Lord, I just pray, Lord, that after looking at your word, and after measuring, Lord, ourselves against your word, Lord, we want to make sure that we're getting things right. And when we look in the mirror of the word, we want to see ourselves, even as we've spoken today, in right order, in right place, kind, compassionate, receiving, bearing all things, hoping all things even for everybody, able to prefer others. And Lord, that we're not going to judge anybody in the natural, but we're going to spiritually appraise. And even when we do that, Lord, we're not going to make anybody the least. So we ask you to forgive us where we may have done that in the past. We ask you to forgive us where we've got a few irregular people in our lives that we try to avoid. So in essence, we've condemned. We ask you, Lord, to show us our hearts now in this circumstance, that we can be there for those who may have a need and feel rejected or feel apart, that we can minister even to those, Lord, that in the past that we may have dismissed. In fact, Lord, it may be the ones we're supposed to. That's why the devil's done that in our life. But in any event, Lord, we want to be more like you. Amen. We acknowledge the fact you died for us, and we don't want to take away from anyone else the fact that you died for them. We know, Lord, that you shed your blood for us, and we don't want to hold back or disallow the blood to apply to anyone else in the body of Christ. Lord, we want to be in the right place, doing our part, seeing as you're seeing, hearing as you're hearing, responding as you would have us respond. And so, Lord, we just ask to do a new thing in our life. We submit to you and do all that you're saying to us today through this word. And we ask you to change us. We know, Lord, you're perfect. You don't change. We know we have to change. Lord, we give you permission to change us. Just show us who we have to deal with. Show us what we have to do. And Lord, take away any pride that might want to prevent us from doing that now, as we want to humble ourselves before you and want to be a part of everything you're doing or we're supposed to do in our life and to fulfill our purpose in you. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters, Lord, and we commit ourselves afresh and anew to them in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well
done.
Hallelujah.